Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav v terminu, rezerviranem za Ereš intervju, v katerem smo se danes pogovarjali z Joe'om Atchisonom, človekom, ki stoji za zasedbo Hidden Orchestra, ki danes nastopi v katedrali Kina Šiške v okviru Ljubljanskega jazz festivala. No, nažalost se je zgodilo tako, da bi danes mogli špilati skupaj z Ilhanom Ershahinom in njegovim projektom Istanbul Sessions, vendar se je Ilhan pač je izostal iz planiranega koncerta, ker je imel neodložljive sodne obveznosti v New Yorku, kjer prebiva. No, kakorkoli, Ilhan Ershahin danes ne bo nastopil v kinu Šiška, zato pa bodo tam nastopili Hidden Orchestra in tudi domači Robert Jukić Operation Charlie. No, z Joe'om Atchisonom smo se pogovarjali preko telefona in takoj na začetku sem ga pravzaprav poprašil, oziroma sem ga prosil, če lahko pove nakratko nekaj o sami zasedbi Hidden Orchestra, oziroma jo nakratko predstavi poslušalcem Radija Študent. Okay, it's a real pleasure to talk to you here on our radio station. Hidden Orchestra is your band, of course. Can you, for the start, only say a few introductory words about the band?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Hidden Orchestra come from Scotland. I started playing the music that I write in a studio live a couple of years ago, and the debut album came out last year. And we've been doing a lot of touring, particularly in Europe, since then.
This is your first time you'll be playing in Slovenia, I presume.
Yeah.
You had also like an extensive tour behind you throughout Europe in March and April. What were the impressions?
It was amazing, the response that we got. I wasn't at all expected. And we found particularly it was the countries like Turkey and Bulgaria and the Czech Republic where the reaction has been particularly strong. So yeah, really hoping that the gig tonight in Slovenia has the same kind of feel.
Yeah, of course, I hope so too. So let's just say a few words about the beginnings of your band, because your band is not so very well known around here. Mm-hmm. How did the project Hidden Orchestra come about, actually?
It started with me writing music just in a studio, and then when I wanted to play it live, I didn't just want to sort of press play on a CD player or anything like that. So I got one drummer on board, and then got Poppy, who plays the violins and keyboards, to fill out the sound. And then it turned out we needed another drummer. So we now have two drummers who sit at the front of the stage and provide a lot of the live show. So yeah, it's just kind of evolved organically in that way.
I guess also the name of your band may imply that you had this idea of putting it live, the music. I mean,
I guess this has been present from the very beginning of this band, this need to present your music live.
Definitely, yeah. It's been really interesting as we perform it live to see how important that is as a part of the whole project. I mean, it's as important as the studio recordings. Of course, it would have been nice to have a full orchestra from the beginning, but it costs a lot of money to get musicians on the road. But we recently did a lineup with 10 musicians, which is the biggest we've done so far, and it was fantastic. So I'm just keen to keep going in that direction.
And how many people will be present on stage tonight?
Tonight there'll be 5, two drummers. Poppy, I mentioned, on violin and keyboards. I play bass and electronics. That's the standard lineup, but we also tonight have a guest, Fraser Fifield, who'll be playing saxophone and whistle. He's an amazing musician, so that should be really good.
These are all people from your hometown, from...
From Edinburgh, yeah, that's right.
No, seveda ga potem po omembi mesta Edinburgh ga sem ga seveda moral poprašati še nekaj o sami sceni na Škotskem, ki pravzaprav poleg kakšnih mogvaj ni kaj dost znana, čeprav je pravzaprav del Velike Britanije, ki je pač glavna talilnica muzike na evropskih tleh.
The scene in Scotland, I mean, I'm not originally from Scotland, I moved there 10 years ago. And what's been amazing about it for me is that there's a lot of traditional music that happens there, a lot of folk culture. And I've got to work with a lot of amazing musicians. Some of the techniques I use, like I do a lot of sampling, but instead of sampling records, I prefer to sample live performance. So working with these kind of traditional musicians has been, you know, a really great thing about being in Scotland.
And how would you say that this approach has been for you? I mean, you were finding a good relation between, let's say, electronically produced music and other genres that kind of melt in your music, from jazz and classical approaches and stuff. What is your opinion on this, like melting all the different genres together?
For me, it's not something that was really intentional, because I've performed and sort of worked in a lot of different kinds of music, and I'm into all sorts of different kinds of music throughout my life, so it was quite instinctive just to combine all these different elements into one music, you know, without sort of seeing different genres as being any kind of a problem. And the combination of the electronics and the acoustic, I guess the idea there originally was to try and make electronic music but without using synthesizers, so using entirely acoustic instruments and acoustic drums and sounds of nature to make these sort of equivalents of the dance kind of beats and you know, synthesizers and so on.
You probably also are a very good, let's say, connoisseur of different music. I figure this out because you've also put out two very good mixtapes. It seems like you have invested quite a lot of time in music, not only in making music, but also in discovering all the different styles. I don't know, for instance, old British folk. You've also done a cover version of this Jackson C. Frank's song, Milk and Honey.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, music is totally my main passion. I've been performing it live since I was about 6 and writing since I was about 8 or 9. But yeah, all the time I like to discover new music wherever I go.
Since we've mentioned this song, The Burning Circle, this was a co-production you did with DJ Slapton. How did this cooperation come about?
He's an old friend of mine, and we were actually listening to the Jackson C. Frank together and just thought it would be a really great tune to try and work with, because Jackson C. Frank got such an incredible voice, and the guitar patterns just sort of were begging to be sampled. And so I've been writing sort of hip-hop instrumentals with Slepton for years, and this was one of the tracks that slowly evolved into being more of a hidden orchestra kind of tune.
I heard that you like to play this song live, and it's like one of those knockers.
Yeah, it's a really popular one, because the two drummers at the front of the stage, they're doing drum battles throughout, very much inspired by Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa and a lot of sort of classic drum battles. So it's one that the audiences always respond really well to, and such great fun for us to play as well.
Would you say that this situation where Hidden Orchestra Live plays with two drummers is an important part of your live presence?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it wasn't something that was intentional, because we just started with one drummer, but because he was playing all the layers of beats in the production of the tracks I was writing in a studio, it just wasn't physically possible for one person to play it all. Which is why we got the second drummer. But now that we have two drummers, there's so many things you can do with question and answer and battles and that kind of stuff, that it's become a really important part of the live show in particular, yeah.
Okay, so your productions, the studio part, let's say, depend on lots of studio trickeries, and you have also worked as... from what I read, as a radio documentaries producer.
Yeah.
How would you say, does this approach, does it show in the music of Hidden Orchestra?
I think so, yeah. Because aside from sort of straight documentary production, I've also done a lot of sound design work on radio in particular. And so those sort of sound effects create a big part of the sound world, I guess. But also there's been a lot of times when I've written music for something on radio that might have been inspired by a book or, another work of art in some way. That creates a little idea that then evolves over time into a hidden orchestra track. So there's definitely traces of it that follow through.
You've released this Nightwalks record on Through Thoughts label, which is, I don't know, I guess mostly known for its funk soul productions. How do you see your band through this label?
For us, it was a really great thing, and it's been working out really well. And I think True Thoughts in recent years definitely have been more in the funk soul kind of thing, but if you remember that they released Bonobo's debut album, there's definitely some characteristics that our music shares with his, and there's definitely always been a place on True Thoughts for that kind of thing. So I think it fits in well, and also it's True Thoughts are evolving at the moment and signing a lot of new artists. I think it's a really exciting time for the label, so I think it's all part of that.
Yeah, also I think there's quite a trend present with musical labels. With many of them, it seems like they're trying to get rid of the frames which they have been like known for.
Yeah.
Like this label only releases only hip-hop, or this one only releases jazz and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's part of a trend that's going on in all parts of the music industry. But with people having such big collections on their MP3 players and stuff, I don't think genres, in general are as sort of important or as, regarded as they used to be. I think people generally are just trying to think about music as being good music or bad music. And I totally see how that reflects on the labels too.
Yeah, because this was exactly the question that I wanted to ask you. Whether do you think that the genres in this modern meltdown of all different musics still count as important? Or
Yeah, I think, I mean, there is still a place for them, but I don't really think that people you know, follow things, movements like, I don't know, punk in the 70s, people really committed and passionate, and even 10 years ago people would listen to just one band and, you know, everything else was rubbish. But now, yeah, people seem so much more open to different kinds of music. I think it's a really, really good thing.
So maybe for the end of this interview, I heard you need to go to the sound check. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could say a few words about your plans for the future. Do you have some new music coming on?
Yeah, sure. Just finished a new single at the moment, which we'll be releasing later on this year with some remixes from the Nightwalks album as well. And I think the next full album will be out sometime, hopefully early next year. The last album did take about 7 or 8 years to write, so hopefully this one will be a lot quicker.
7 to 8? Wow. That's quite a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
Were you pleased with how the public reacted to it?
Yeah, and I think that long time period helped as well, because I think if a lot of that earlier material, when I was still experimenting a lot more, if that had been released, then it wouldn't have got such a good response. You know, it wasn't as developed and as the music is now. So I think that's been really beneficial for us in the long run, to put that time in on, you know, working at the sound and, you know, following the instincts, but also sort of shaping it over time. I think it's been good.
Okay, so one last question. What have you prepared for tonight's concert?
Tonight we've got the guest Fraser Fifield, and also one of the drummers has flown his trombone over from Scotland, so we're getting a bit of trombone tonight as well. And we don't know really what to expect, so it depends what the crowd is like, I guess, and that's what we react off and play to, so we'll see.
Yeah, let's hope a lot of people will come to tonight's show. Okay, thanks for this interview. I hope you really have a good show tonight. But you were already here yesterday, I hear.
Yeah, we arrived yesterday early evening. Mm-hmm. Had a really nice
so
time.
How was it around here?
Yeah, we got to go into the center of town. Uh-huh. And just had a nice meal by the river.
They treat you good?
Yeah, really nice. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's a beautiful city.
So thanks again, and hope to see you in a good shape tonight. Mm-hmm. On the stage.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been really nice chatting.
Ja, takole se je nekako zaključil najin pogovor, ki so ga opravila pred kakšno urco, recimo. No in čeprav se Hidden Orchestra v Ljubljani predstavljajo znotri jazz festivala, pravzaprav ne gre za nek tipičen jazz band, kako zvenijo in zgledajo v živo, pa seveda lahko preverite nocoj v ljubljanskem kinu Šiška skupaj z Robertom Jukićem in njegovim projektom Operation Charlie, ki bodo predtem nastopili kar menda na dvorišču, in potem seveda še Hidden Orchestra v dvorani. No, za konec tegale Ereš intervjuja, v katerem sem se Božidar pogovarjal z Joe'om Atchisonom, gonilno silo zasedbe Hidden Orchestra, pa poslušimo še nekaj taktov skladbe Tired and Awake z njihovega odličnega lanskoletnega albuma Nightwalks. Hvala za vašo pozornost in nasvidanje nocoj.
Intervju Radija Študent.